Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Hello, hello, and welcome to Joyful Eating, episode number 135. And today we're going to check in. How are your iron levels? But before we get to that, the best bite I had. So on the weekend, I made just a vanilla ice cream. And then I'd also made these cookies. Like I've got a project where I'm baking everything out of this beautiful baking book called First Cream the Butter and Sugar. And so she had these triple choc chip cookies. So I made those. But rather than bake them all, I saved some of the dough and kind of crumbled it up into cookie crumbs and then put them in the cookie dough crumbs and had them in the fridge. And then we had the ice cream. The boys had theirs with the cooked cookies, but I had mine with the raw cookie dough, and Simba had some with the raw cookie dough as well, sprinkled over. And you get that like crunch of the sugar with the butter and then with to have it with the ice cream creamy flavors as well. It was like out of this world good. And it was even better because like normally when you have cookie dough ice cream, if you mix the dough through, it gets too hard. And so then when you're eating it, you get these like kind of hard things, whereas this was like kind of the similar consistency to the ice cream base. So it's just like this perfect thing. And I actually overate like too much. And I actually at the end like felt a little bit sick afterwards, and Bimbo did as well, my youngest. And I've just realized that's the first time I have like overeaten in that way since, like, I can't remember. Like it might've been a Christmas, not last Christmas or the Christmas before. It might've been like 3 years ago. Like it was a really long time. And I learned a very important lesson. Too much cookie dough makes you feel really gross. So you don't need to, well, you're welcome to learn that lesson yourself. However, I've taken one for the team and learnt for you. Anyway, enough about cookie dough. Let's start talking about iron. So first I'm going to share like the story behind this episode. And then we're going to talk about like, how do you know if you've got low iron, like why iron's important. And then we're going to talk about like how to actually go about increasing your iron intake if you do find yourself in this situation. And I've got a bonus tip for you as well. So story behind this episode is it's kind of interesting. Like iron's kind of been just, you know how like you don't really think about something and then all of a sudden like it's everywhere. So it's funny, like last week I caught up with my business mastermind, and one of the people in that was saying that she'd recently been diagnosed with low iron, and she hadn't actually I'd seen her last year, and she'd talked about like her hair was falling out, and she said that, yeah, like, so she'd actually had she'd actually been diagnosed, she'd had some tests done, and so she was on a mission to increase her iron levels. And then last night was my sister's birthday, and we went out for dinner, and she had just got a similar diagnosis, and she just picked up her iron supplements, so she was having them with her dinner. And also for me, I've been on had a bit of a journey with losing hair myself, and I did a previous episode about that. And in the first instance that happened, like a couple of years ago, I found like increasing my protein intake made a massive difference, and that stopped eating more animal protein helped me to reverse that hair loss. But then it had started happening a few months ago as well. And I was like, hang on, what's going on? And my protein levels are still pretty the same. And I was like, well, what's going on? I did some research, and my coach had suggested that iron could be one thing to look at. And so I've since had a project over the last probably 6 to 8 weeks, like just looking at my iron intake and intentionally increasing my iron intake, and wouldn't you know it, hair magically back to normal. So yeah, it's just kind of one of those things. It's been on my radar, and I was like, okay, might be time to do an episode on iron for my joyful eating people. So here we are. So how do you know if you have low iron? So as I mentioned, hair loss, massive sign. And if you think about it, like hair, it's a nice to have. It's not like you're mission critical. So we can be bald, and there are plenty of people who are bald who are going about their lives. So if you think about it from like our body's perspective, like growing hair isn't like super high on our list of priorities for survival. So yes, it is can be beneficial for attracting a mate and all that sort of stuff. So that like that's why we do it. However, when resources are scarce, so when a nutrient is scarce, so in this case, iron, our body will use the iron for other processes and the hair falls out. So that's one sign. The other big one with iron is fatigue and just like feeling like you're dragging yourself through your life. And I remember I didn't have that so much this time. It was more the hair loss. But I remember like when I was pregnant with my first, like, because pregnancy you need a lot of iron in pregnancy. And so it's really common to experience that. And I was just feeling exhausted all the time. And then I had a project to eat during my pregnancy to eat red meat every day. I had a couple of weeks of eating red meat every day to boost my iron level. And yeah, that made a huge difference back then. So fatigue and like feeling that feeling of exhaustion, like even if you're sleeping okay, like that you're just dragging yourself through life is another one. Of course, there are other things that can be causing fatigue, like thyroid, and also the amount of sleep that you're getting. But yeah, like that is a really common sign. And then the other listlessness and kind of not feeling very satisfied can be another sign. Of course, pale color, like not having a lot of, like looking really washed out can be a sign. The best way to figure it out is to like have a blood test. So it's one of those things that you could just go to your doctor and say, hey, I think iron might be a thing, like, and you can just get it tested. Or if you like are getting other tests done, it's a good thing to like get your iron levels tested as well. Particularly if you're female and you're like, particularly in those reproductive years, like when you are having, like you're menstruating, like that's a thing that really contributes. Women do tend to have low iron. So yeah, just keeping an eye on it is important. And also like, you know, there can be genetic components to it as well. So, you know, just knowing your type and knowing your iron levels. And I have my iron levels historically when they've been tested have always been low. So it's like one of those things that I know it's a thing for me. So it might be something you know about yourself as well. But sometimes we forget these things and we need to be reminded. So yeah, that's how you know if you have low iron. So what do you do if you're in that situation and you want to increase your iron intake? First thing I want to remind you is that we are humans and we're designed to eat food. We're not designed to eat nutrients. So approaching this from a food-based perspective is a really helpful kind of way to think about it. And then in terms of like the practicalities, like what types of food are rich in iron? So the best and most nutritious and best source of iron is liver. So particularly liver, but particularly I think beef is the highest, or maybe lamb, but they tend to be pretty strong flavor. So I tend to go for chicken livers. And the way that I eat my liver is I actually don't mind it as a food, but it's not something that I like, you know, really, really love. Like I like the idea of me liking it, but more than I actually like the experience of eating liver. What I do is to get when I know that I'm low iron, my go-to is I order some chicken livers from Brad, my farmer that comes to the farmer's market. And I just make up a big batch of pate. And this pate isn't like, you know, you're not going to be going and getting it from any five-star restaurants. It's more like of a nutritional pate. So most pates have a lot of cream and a lot of booze and a lot of butter in them. But whereas I just keep mine, it's mostly about the liver. So I just put the livers on a tray, slice up some onion really finely and put that on the tray so it can cook down with the livers. And I just pop it in the oven for usually like 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, just so the liver's brown on the outside, mostly cooked, but there's still a little bit of pink on the inside, and then just puree it up in the food processor and actually my favorite at the moment to season it is, I do add some butter at that point, or cream, depending on what I've got. And the other thing I really love seasoning it with is sometimes I go balsamic vinegar, but lately I've been going with Worcestershire sauce because it just adds that beautiful little bit of sweetness, but also that umami. So it gives you like a lot of flavor to kind of mask the liveriness and that kind of metallic-y livery taste. So so just puree that up until it's smooth. And then if I've got time, it is nicer if you pass it through a sieve and get rid of any kind of bits in it. But oftentimes I don't want to spend that like hours sieving my pate, so I just put it in a jar and take the, like, I know that I'm going to have to chew a few of the stringy bits. If you're like, no, Jules, there's no way in hell I'm going to have liver, then that's okay. There's other options. So of course, red meat is the next highest, so your beef and lamb, but the other meats do contain iron as well. So, and particularly like if you think about it, like the darker cut, the color of the meat, so like chicken, turkey, dark meat will have a higher iron content than breast meat. And same with like chicken thighs will have higher iron than light colored chicken. So that's kind of a guide. But like if you're having chicken, you're getting some iron. So it's good to be like having a wide variety of protein. Fish oil, the oily fish can also have iron in them. So things like sardines and mackerel. And, you know, the cool thing is if you're eating oily fish, then you get the omega-3s happening as well. So like in the protein and also sardines, you're eating the bones, so you're getting calcium. Like there's, so like eating food is really good. So yeah, and then what else? Oh yes, shellfish. So mussels in particular, I've just found these smoked mussels that actually aren't farmed in China. They're from Latvia in my supermarket. I'm very excited to try them. But yeah, mussels are like really high in iron. So that's another thing is if I'm feeling low in iron, I often go to the fish market and get myself a kilo of mussels and cook them up and just have a big bowl of mussels. But I'm excited to try these smoked ones. So yeah, but most the other shellfish fish do as well. So scallops, but I think mussels are the highest of the shellfish. So they're all the animal / fish sources of iron. And the thing is with iron, it comes in two forms, heme and non-heme. And so the heme iron is more readily absorbed in our bodies. So it's easiest for us to actually use the iron than the non-heme form because it has an extra conversion step. But that being said, getting non-heme iron in your diet is better than no iron kind of thing. So when we're looking at like the non-heme, like the vegetable source, like plant-based sources of iron, it's things like tofu, chickpeas, other beans like white beans can. Dark chocolate, surprisingly, high in iron. So definitely another reason to have your square of dark chocolate every day. Leafy greens in terms of the veggies are the highest in iron, and broccoli has a fairly decent amount as well. So they're like if you're low in iron, like focusing on those getting your leafy green veggies, spinach and kale and all those sorts of things. And actually, like I think like if you're low on iron, like having a project where you're increasing your meat. Yes, you're having your liver, but also that you're like looking at these leafy veg and looking at the veggie sources as well. Pumpkin seeds are another one. So they're something that I have. I do this thing called seed cycling. So for afternoon tea every day, I have yogurt and seeds. And so, and I do it different, have different seeds during the different parts of my cycle. And I think I did a different episode on that. But if you just go to my blog and, I've done it. There's definitely a recipe if you look on Stone Soup about seed cycling. But yeah, just having pumpkin seeds and sesame seeds, great. Of course, fortified cereals. Thank you, breakfast cereal companies that I used to work for. I remember putting iron in the cooker, like because you can cook it and last forever. So they are another source of iron. And of course, you know, there's supplements as well, which generally supplements aren't as great because they tend to have can cause constipation, so that can be not so good. But then, like as my sister's doctor said, like you know, if your iron levels are really, really low, sometimes you know, having supplements as a short-term thing to just get your levels back up, and at the same time increasing the iron-rich food in what you're eating, like having that two-pronged approach can be better than just like because it can be too hard to top your levels back up. Yeah, so that's all the types of foods that we can look at to increasing our iron. Like, actually, that's not an exhaustive list. Like, there are others, but I think those are the ones that give you the biggest bang for your buck, so to speak. Oh, yeah, I should have mentioned with the pate, what I do with it is once I've got it, I just have it in jars. Actually, this is one I just got out of the freezer, so it freezes. And then I'll just have a jar in the fridge. And then usually at lunchtime when I have my lunch, I'll just scoop out a tablespoon and have that with my lunch on the side, like, and it's kind of more medicinal than it is culinary. But yeah, that's like a way to get that liver in. And then it doesn't matter. Then I don't have to like be thinking about having red meat all the time. Like I know I've got my liver and that's ticking that box. Okay. And then my other tip for you in terms of increasing your iron intake is to think about like investment cooking options so that you like to have like options available so that it's easy. You're not having to like cook red meat all the time. So or iron-rich food all the time. So, and what I mean by investment cooking is like, you know, cooking up a big batch of meatballs. So rather than just doing like meatballs for one meal, making enough meatballs for like a few meals and having them, the cooked meatballs in the fridge, and then you can just add them into your whatever you're having. So you're just having a couple of meatballs on the side to up your iron levels. Or same with like cooking ragu, like a big batch of bolognese is another thing that I do. Or if I'm making meatloaf, I always make a big one. Yeah, anytime I'm cooking meat, I'm always thinking of like what makes sense for me to make more of. And like I mentioned, my pate, I do a big, you know, a kilo batch of, you get by a kilo of livers and do that. Well, it's a lot of livers given I'm the only one that eats it. But, you know, I freeze it and get through it. So that's, yeah, how to increase your iron intake. And then in terms of like my bonus tip for you, I guess a couple of bonus tips I wanted to share. One is that it's well known, there's like this cool hack in nutrition that vitamin C increases iron absorption. So when you're having your iron-rich foods, also including you know, sources of vitamin C with it. So it doesn't have to be in the same mouthful, but in the same meal can be helpful. Or doing like I do and taking vitamin C supplements. So you've definitely got it is a good strategy. But you think of like having, if you're having steak, having a squeeze of lemon with it. So you're getting, or having some fresh food with it. So you're getting some vitamin C with it is a cool hack. And then the other thing to just be mindful of this is not all iron, like it's not good, having too much iron can be just as problematic as not enough iron. So just being mindful of like, you don't want to go too mental on it and like, you know, walk this middle ground instead. And I think for me this time, one of the reasons why I'd let my iron levels like get down a bit was I'd actually been listening to a podcast on longevity and it was talking about you know, kind of the negative health consequences of having iron. So that had subconsciously or consciously made me like, I hadn't made my pate for ages. And so I think that's what contributed. So of course, what I'm saying, like if you need to increase your iron, yes, but don't just increase iron because you think, oh yeah, more iron is good. Like more iron is not necessarily the answer. And so like knowing your own body and actually getting tested is a really good, sensible approach. Okay, so that's it for this week. And just before I go, if you've been enjoying Joyful Eating, definitely subscribe to the podcast or subscribe to, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to my YouTube channel and tell your friends. Like the more peace and joy and fun in the world around food when there's like there's so much suffering and pain, the more people that are like taking this radical approach of actually enjoying food and having fun with it and for it bringing like, yeah, like a positive thing into the world is only going to be good for the world. So yeah, tell more people and introduce them to your friends to Joyful Eating. And that would mean a lot to me. I really appreciate it. Okay. I will catch you next week. Bye.
Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. And I'd love to send you a copy of my free recipe app, Stone Soup, 6 Ingredients, 20 Minutes. It's full of hundreds of easy whole food recipes, so delicious, they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. It's the perfect little resource to have right on your phone for those inevitable times when you're in the supermarket thinking, wow, what am I doing for dinner? It's available for both iOS and Android, and I add new recipes every week, so it's a really great resource to get for free. See the link in the show notes, or if you just Google Stone Soup and click on the free recipe app page, that'll give you the details of how to grab your free copy.